At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Welcome to Pre-Market Prep. Spencer, Joel, Dennis here with you. As always, we're talking Facebook, obviously. It is an earnings kind of a day. We'll talk Facebook. We'll talk UPS. We'll talk Logitech. We may talk a little bit of Tesla, depending. I mean, we talk about Tesla all the time, right? So, but how can we not? You know what I mean? $1 trillion market cap is kind of a big deal. So if you want, we can get to some of the staples, right? 3M, GE, if you guys feel like it. If not, we can talk about other stuff. But Kenny Glick will be back today. We just want to do a quick follow-up with Kenny from last week. He was on the show on Thursday talking all about his trades and DWAC and fun. Just wanted to follow up for a minute here with Kenny. So Kenny will be on the show in about 13 minutes or so for a quick segment. And we'll take questions from our chat as always, as we do at the end of every show at ticker time. As a reminder, hit that like button for us, please. And thank you. And oh, by the way, our next event is tomorrow. Is tomorrow and Thursday, the second to last Benzinga small cap conference of the year. You can see the graphic there in the bottom of the screen, bottom right. BZSmallCap.com. All day after pre-market prep, all day tomorrow and Thursday. Excited for that. Joel, good morning. I see your charts. How are we doing? How was your night? How was your morning?
We're doing good. Someone reminded me I did not give the dad jokes of the day yesterday.
Oh, no. So we've been slacking on that front.
Sure. Yes. Monday's a good one. Dads love complaining that they are the only ones who ever turn the lights off in the house.
I do that. Yep.
Yep. And then dads love saying she's a beaut when they see a car they like.
So I also do that.
Okay. Well, you're not a dad yet, or at least that you know of. All right. We are in the green by 17 handles. We just caught a bit after hours. Haven't even seen that close of 45.58. Pre-market high, 48.75. If I told you there was resistance in this market, I'd be lying to you, and I don't want to do that to you guys. Crude's down, or excuse me, up 26 cents. Big sell-off yesterday, but on the rebound. Gold still over 1800, down 230 at 1804.30. Silver in the red by 14.15 cents at 24.44. Bitcoin, let's just call that flat at 62,900. And Ethereum, that's just up a couple bucks at 42.32.75. So we got to bring in Triple D here, and it's our mission to put a smile on that face today. Oh.
There's some days you come in and your overnight trades, you're on the right side of every single trade and everything is going well and you can do no wrong. Today, for me, it's not one of those days. I will tell you that much. I've come in and I'm like, I'm red on that. I'm red on that. I'm red on that. I'm like, this is going to be a battle today when you start in the hole. But you know what? There's a lot of day left. We'll try to take a positive spin on it, even though my P&L is bleeding out. So we'll try to take a positive spin. We'll find some good trades. Maybe turn around. My buddy Mike in Nashville, he's telling me that I'm going to be green by the end of the day. That very well may be the case, but we got a lot of work to do.
You know what? Today's going to be a good day for your taxes. How about that?
Yeah. You know what? I'm paying enough taxes anyways. Maybe I just got to take the rest of the year off. Maybe that's what we should do.
Yeah. Today's going to be a good day for some tax loss harvesting for you. Yeah, I don't know.
I think so. I've already harvested a couple of them. One was a Polaris long into earnings. Ouch. Okay. Ouchie, ouchie, ouchie. Yeah. Got stuck with that one. Wrong side.
That's okay. It happens to everyone.
Some people it doesn't happen to. Some people have 100% winners. I'm not one of those people.
There's Twitter. No one loses money on Twitter. Has anybody ever posted a losing trade on Twitter?
No, I don't think so. Everybody wins all the time on Twitter. They don't talk about their losers.
All right, let's go.
Talk about the losers, though. We like talking about the losers. We like to lean on our chat when we're having a bad day and say, you know what? I've been there, done that. And you've all have, even if you don't post them on Twitter. So, you know, bad day trading. It's okay. Shrug it off. You'll have a good day maybe tomorrow.
Okay.
So, all right. Let's go.
Let's go to the story of the day, obviously, right? Facebook here. We talked about this one yesterday into the report, and the sentiment really couldn't have been quite worse. And the headline from Facebook this morning is very simple. Not as bad as Snapchat. Five words. That's the takeaway, because the report was mostly positive. There were some things not to like about it, but not as bad as Snapchat. The EPS was good. They beat this is interesting. Their revenue actually missed, and it was the first time that their revenue came in down on a sequential or year-over-year basis since like 2018, which they attributed to what else or who else? Apple. So you know, the daily active users in line, the guidance in line, buyback 50 billion. So again, it was mostly good. So, and especially when you compare it to Snapchat, it was very good. They talked up what else? Their metaverse. They're going to spin out some reporting on their metaverse operations. And they're going to start reporting that stuff separately and spin it out from the rest of the company, so we get a better idea of how much they're spending and investing on things like Oculus and all that sort of thing. So they talk that up a lot. But by and large, the report wasn't bad. Kind of a take that statement from Facebook in light of all the negative headlines every day. Kind of a pushback here.
What are you going with, Triple D, on this one? What do you think?
Well, the level is the lows. And then we got down there again. They hit it right on the initial number. And where do they hit it to? Right to those lows of the move, the whole 317 to 320 area. Yeah, we touched 315. But there is huge, Joel would say, super duper support down there. You have to respect it. The algos don't respect it, obviously, because they're the ones that slammed it on the headline, the news algo. And they immediately start losing money. Don't think to yourself that every algo out there is smart. There's a lot of dumb algos out there. And that was a dumb one because they hit it right down to support on, you got to understand expectations, algos. You got to understand that Snap. And as Spencer clearly stated when he was starting the segment, that they set the bar very, very low for Facebook. So come out like, oh no, Facebook missed. Well, the bar was lower. So you got to consider that when you're writing those news algos that just hit when they see the revenue miss. Throw those expectations in there. But they don't do it, and they just hit it down, and you know what? They get punished for it. So whoever's down 315, congratulations. You just threw away 20 points.
We covered this on the show, at the close show, and I'm looking at this chart, and there's some big players out there, and I'm not one of them. Triple D's not one of them, but they're just trading this range, man. And anytime this thing gets near 320 – are under 320, they're just scooping it up. And then whenever it gets near 340, they're dumping it. And now you're stuck right in the middle. So I like to see the way it resolves itself out. Eventually, it's going to get – eventually, we're going to break 320. We're going to stay under 320, and we're going to test 300. Or they're just going to shrug all this off. We're going to hold 340. They're going to get half back of this move. So I just think you got to respect ranges when there are ranges. And this is a big volume stock. It's a big part of the S&P. And until further notice, I'm just going to let it chop in this range and get a clean break one way. I mean, it's big money. I'm talking like big money is doing this. They're scooping it up and they're selling it. Maybe even going short like you do, Triple D. Like, I know you can go long, and then it gets up to...
Shorting is evil, Joel.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, that's my look.
They're going to ban shorting again, just like they did back during the financial crisis.
Okay, that's it. So 330, nothing muffin there. Just use those parameters if you're trading Facebook.
I'm curious how Twitter is reacting here this morning.
Twitter had some headlines of its own too, though, last night. So it actually didn't respond too much, and then started lifting. Actually, maybe it wasn't a headline. You know what it was? It was Fast Money pumped it. They said those big option buyers. Yeah, you know, and then when they see those big option buyers, those Fast Money guys, you know, everybody follows that. So it started lifting, and it actually rallied a buck because they said we saw a call buying in Twitter. Again, I put zero relevance into that, but you've got to respect it because it does move the price. And when they talk about it on CNBC, a lot of people will say, oh, I got to buy some of that. And they actually did. So it is lifting. Twitter, I don't know what to say about this either. If Trump does actually get his social media platform off the ground, like if it actually does, you know, and obviously a lot of people believe it's going to with the market cap that they're giving it, I got to think it's not good for Twitter. So I don't know. I don't want any part of Twitter at this point in time. I want more information on what Trump's plan is over there.
I'm so close to dumping this, and I've been holding it for a long time.
Well, it's not cheap is the problem.
No, it's not cheap, but I just can't take another earnings miss and this going back to $50.
That's why I almost sold Intel ahead of the report. I didn't want to take another earnings miss and going back to $50. That's exactly what happened. I did not sell my long-term Intel. Should have sold. Take the money. When you get the money, take the money.
When does Twitter report? They report. It's so nice. I should know this. It's what the what? Oh, that's the, oh wait, today.
Today.
Wait. Oh, tonight.
They're yeah, tonight. Reports tonight. Tonight. Reports with everybody. Reports tonight. We got okay. So yeah. I want to hear the lineup tonight. We got Google, Microsoft, AMD, Twitter. We got Hood. Look, Robinhood's going to report. We got Texas Instruments. We got Visa. And then we got a lot of smaller companies like Juniper, Capital One Financial, ETH reports, missed, Wire report. They got a few. There's a few.
I think you missed. Did you miss Google? Did you say that?
Oh, no. I said it right off the hop. Okay. So the big three reporting tonight are Google. I'm going to go Google, Microsoft, AMD, and we'll put Twitter number four. But a lot of people were watching that Robinhood earnings report too, so that's a pretty big one too.
It's under 40 now. It's under 40.
That level is of all levels. But let's see what happens. I mean, when you have an earnings report, we always say technicals take a back seat. Expectations fairly low for Robinhood, so that's a good thing if you're long. If the expectations are low, it means there's a lower bar there. With that being said, I think a lot of Robinhood wants to know, too, is what's happening with Gensler? What's happening with payment for order flow? What's going on there? Because, we can talk about high-frequency trading. We can talk about, off-exchange trading. We can talk about Citadel and Virtue Financial and off-exchange market makers, obviously benefiting from payment for order flow relations. But nobody benefits more from PFOF than these small retail brokerages, it's not small, but saying Robinhood, this is the majority of their revenue. So that's what matters more than anything to them. And we don't have clarity there yet. So that's why it's difficult. Like you could have one headline, Gensler's going to crack down and all of a sudden, boom, Robinhood's going to get hit. Or one headline, Gensler's maybe going to leave it as it is. Or maybe we're just going to get more disclosures. I tend to think we're just going to get more disclosures, but we don't know where he's going here yet. That matters very much to HOOD.
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, you got some daily support. I'm going to still keep that line at 40 just because now you can kind of use it as resistance. Let's see. You only have a couple other lows down here, and you have the IPO price what was it, 37? That's where it opened up at. So I don't know. Kids were still – right, so this quarter was what? What months did it represent?
July, August, September.
Yeah, so kids went back to school in September, so maybe they weren't trading as much. So
I don't know.
Tough call here. I'll just give you, if you're looking for support today, I don't think it's going to get to 37.16. Lean on yesterday. I don't know. This chart, look how tight this is. What I can't get out of my mind on this one is when was that big insider sell? That was right here.
For 3 days afterwards. Yeah.
Look at that. Those
guys are good.
Yeah. Look at, they said, get me out. And has there been any insider buys in Robinhood down here?
I'm sure somebody is buying.
I don't know.
There's always somebody buying.
There's always somebody buying.
Don't talk about Robinhood that much. And, you know, it kind of ebbs and flows. We talk about Cathie Wood for a while.
We haven't talked Robinhood too much. We talked about this 40 level, though, and it has breached the 40 level, but there's an earnings report here tonight. So don't even worry about the technicals. Let's see what happens with the earnings report. I tend to think that the bar is pretty low, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do get over that low bar. How the spot stock responds is another story, but I think that they can get over the low bar.
Okay.
All right. Let's bring on here. You know, we went how many months? We went five. Oh, I can't do math. We went 3 months without having Kenny Glick on the show. And now we're gonna have Kenny on twice in 1 week.
Wow.
So we're getting more than our fair share of Kenny. And the reason that I asked him back today was just to follow up on the craziness from last Thursday when he was on the show. We were talking about DWAC, and fun. And so, Kenny, first off, good morning. Welcome to the show. Tell me how the last few days have been for you on that front, because it got quieter.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow. I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
I don't think so. Oh. We had another one yesterday. It was BKKT. It's three different symbols every single day now.
Yeah, it
usually
is.
There's usually the therapeutics or pharmaceuticals involved, and then we have got now the SPACs are back. So
yeah,
it's been crazy. But guess what? I mean, one of my best trades yesterday was Kimberly Clark. You know, I always go back to the bread and butter. I go back to the bread and butter to fund the craziness.
What'd you do on KMB?
KMB was just a buy on the dip. You know, I called a turn, got some at 126.50. The VWAP told me it was going to go to 130.15. Boom, went right to the price. And again, that's what I teach people. You want to have fun with these lunatic stocks, have the bread and butter to fund those crazy ideas. Because, you know, again, I'm telling people again, if they pull the DWAC deal, that stock's getting halted and opening up at 10 bucks. So I wouldn't hold it overnight. And the options are too crazy to play on. They're too jacked up to play anyway. So
it's so wild, and it's such a hard thing to trade. Like, I know you were coming on, you can put stops, but it seems like you get stops. You get stopped out on everything when you're trading that thing. It's like if you throw risk away and you just kind of just let it go, you know, obviously you can make some big money, but you can also lose some big money that way too. I've always seen these things more as like lottery tickets. You know, some of them hit and some of them don't.
Yeah.
And like you said, fun, you know, use that to fund and have some fun. You know, PHUN, a lot of fun trading something like that, but it's not my bread and butter either, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's wild. You know, again, it's a stark, really opposite of what I'm in right now. I have Q's, Ford, and Sophie. That's my portfolio. So, I mean, I've got some boring stocks.
Not that boring though.
Sophie's been pretty good. SOFI, that one looks like you get past 21 and change, you could get back to that 25, 28 zone. I think it's a takeover candidate also. And Ford, this is a 15 year breakout. We're finally getting something. We're about to break out. Hopefully we get this back in the 20s. And I think then, you know, maybe the crazy people come and start buying Ford. You never know which one they're going to pick next.
It's just kind of thick. You need, like when they tried to move, what was that? That Lokia. It was a little thick. What about?
Stop. I just want to say though, Kenny Glick, and we've known Kenny for like the last decade here, and he's been coming on. There was one thick stock that he called right all the way up, and you know where I'm going with this one, Kenny. All the way, starting from $2 to $4 to $8 to $12 to $16 to $20, $24, and it kept going. It was AMD. And he was all over this, and it started as a thick stock, Joel. Is Ford the next AMD?
No, but I'll take 20 bucks on Ford. You know, again, let's go back to the world of real investing. Give me 20 bucks on Ford in 8 months. You know, remember those days? You buy a $16 stock, and it was $4 in 8 months later. That's what I'm looking at. I've got call spreads on Ford. I'm selling puts. I got a big position in Ford because, again, that one I don't have to watch and be afraid that it's going to drop 50% any second. But yeah, it's the Wild West. It really is a real replica of how I began this career. So.
Kenny, I want to ask you about UVXY.
Yeah,
I know. You like to use that as your proxy, and I know you've made. Can you put me on a UVXY alert? When you think this baby's going back to 110K? I mean, that's what.
Let me see. Well, I got to tell you something. And I'm waiting for expiration. We were selling $270 calls, you know, a couple of months ago on this thing, just like the SQQ. The SQQ and the UV, by the way, if you don't know the SQQ, it's the UVXY of the Qs. And we've just been selling premium on these because for some reason they have premium out in the 25s and 30s on SQQ. Mathematically, you can't actually go there, but the premium's there. I've been selling calls on that naked. The UVXY is just awful. I mean, it really, once it goes into that contango, there's no bid on the stock and it does nothing. By the way, the market sold off for what, 3 days, and we've gone up every day since this market. It's the same thing. They'll just throw some stuff at us where we're frightened for a couple of days. Inflation was the last thing. I don't know. Doesn't the market outpace inflation? So
yeah,
we're good. I heard somebody saying the Dow 100,000 in, you know, 5 or 6 years. 2 weeks, baby. 2 weeks. it's
hyperinflation.
It's exactly where it's madness. But right now, it's just keeping focused on the bread and butter. You know, I'm watching Facebook today for some selling. You know, and you know, just again, there'll be a symbol that we don't know yet today. And you know, maybe they're going to run red box. I mean, they're running red box now.
That's a spec. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, Kenny, on the BKKT for a second.
Yeah.
So because that was a midday headline, I believe. I mean, it was already up all day, but it I think it halted and it came out of the halt even higher. So like, tell us how you played BKKT on a day like yesterday.
Well, that was early on. I was on the road yesterday, so I'm in a hotel room and I'm doing my broadcast, and we were buying it just on the idea that it was breaking VWAP at around 1250. So after that, I was on the road the whole time, and that's when I just checked my phone at the end of the day and saw that stock. I thought I was hallucinating for a second because I was like, oh, no way, not again. Because really, it was just a momentum breakout. So, you know, after it got to 17 and change, it all did consolidate all day, but it didn't break down. So then it was just a breakout at the end of the day. What was it, around 1 o'clock? And then as momentum kicks in again. And that's what it's all about. You know, that's the reason that the combination of VWAP, the way I trade now, and the historical trading that I did back in, you know, 97 to 2001, it's a great combination of a skill set right now. So I'm using VWAP to keep me safe and sound and keep me, you know, liquid. And then I'm playing the momentum burst. And then that 1750, Dennis knows what I'm talking about, blue sky breakouts, 1750 gets you 20, 20 gets you 2250. It still works.
Do you hold it through earnings on Ford, though? Because it's got earnings on Wednesday.
I know. I'm actually scared.
I am, too. And I've had Ford in my portfolio since $7. I'm somewhat nervous because of supply chain issues. And, you know, you see, like, I can't get this and I can't get that. And I'm like, we know that, you know, a little bit of that might be priced in, but I'm kind of scared.
I think it's priced in. You know what? They had a lot
well,
of
hope is priced
they
in.
Had a lead, they had a lot
Good
of bad
little
news.
Hedge.
A couple of weeks ago, they pretty much pre-announced all that negativity, and the stock rallied on that. That's why I bought more. So when it went down to 13 and change, it was positive news, and it was going down. Negative news, the stock started going up. That's what I liked more about it. So, Yeah, and that's, you know, again, it's not a, a huge position. Again, it's Ford. What's it going to really do? Go back to 14? You know, it's like this thing's not going down 50%. It's not getting halted. I'm not too concerned. Plus, you know, I'm always hedged if I hold a position. Sophie also, same kind of thing. If you look, guys, if you look at Sophie, S-O-F-I, I don't know why, but there are $50 calls on it for January. So I've been selling premium on that one. Again, anytime I hold a position, I'm selling premium. And for some reason, Sophie, $50 calls. Oh, sorry, whether 40s or 50s. I believe it's a $50 call. And just give it to me. You know, I'll sell premium all day.
What are they paying you on the 50? Like, it's, I gotta go.
I was getting 15 cents. 15 cents. I got 20 cents from him a couple of weeks ago. Just, I'll keep selling premium. It's like I use it as bait for my stuff.
Lottery tickets.
Yeah, go up there. You know, if somebody wants to pay me. Same thing with SQQ. You guys want to do some math. SQQ $40 calls. Why do they exist? If you do the math,
I can't speak to the SQQ. I can't speak to the SQQ, but with SoFi, it is a beloved retail stock, so that probably has something to do with it.
Pretty wild.
But you're right. It sounds a little crazy to $50 in January, but you know, that's what the, if that's available to you, selling premium works. So Kenny Glick runs hitthebid.com. The link is in the description. Kenny, always a pleasure. Sure, twice in 1 week. Wow, I know.
Let's do earnings season. We'll do some more stuff in the morning. I this is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, I know. I may have hit my Kenny quota for now. Maybe I'll have to let you know.
No, there's no Kenny quota.
There's no Kenny quota. All right.
Yeah, we'll get back. We'll hang out with you guys.
All right. Have a good one, Kenny.
Thanks. All right, guys. Good luck. Good luck out there, everybody.
Thanks, Kenny. All right. Thanks, Kenny.
Love Kenny. Kenny is the man. And he's from funny. He's from my neck of the woods in Jersey. I love that guy.
He's been coming on our show. It's got to be 7 years, like right from the beginning, I think, Kenny.
Yeah,
he's when you say on, Joel Angus right from the beginning.
I think Brianna was the one that found
Kenny originally.
Yeah, or you know what? He might have already been doing some stuff with Benzinga when we started doing this show. But
great guy. And he's got strategies. Funny. And like he says, you know, he plays around in some of this crazy stuff and it's fun, but you know, he's got his bread and butter is VWAP. You know, everybody's got their angle. His angle's VWAP. So my angle's relationships, Joel's is the charts and the levels. So everybody's got their angles, and that's what you have to find. If you're a newer trader, you got to find what works for you. You know, if you're great at trading all this crazy stuff, I guess by all means continue to trade it. It's not my cup of tea, not Kenny's cup of tea. It's fun to trade. I like trading that stuff sometimes too. Livens it up a little bit with my for my boring relationships, but my bread and butter is relationships. His is VWAP.
I just wanna throw it in here that we gotta do a better job of publicizing it. But you could still get our webinar on our site. You can go to it and just register today and sign up for it, and people are just trickling in every day doing it. So go to premarketprep.com and you can purchase that last event that we did on October 16th. And if you want to the first event that we did as well, we're throwing a little bonus in there. So go to premarketprep.com for that.
And speaking of relationships, let's talk DKNG because this stock is getting a lift here because they're not doing a deal, Spencer. What's the headline?
Yeah, the headline, they're not going to pursue a deal, an offer, a takeover, whatever you want to call it. Oh, come on now. My computer just froze up on me.
That's okay. I got you back.
Thank you. Here. Entain. I got it. Entain. Holy cow. DraftKings, this is a rumored deal. They come out via SEC filing this morning and saying, nope, we've terminated those discussions.
No deal. Entain. And you're seeing the stock lift up substantially. I mean, you got back down to a level two. This 45 level has all kinds of memory down here, DKNG. It's been a dog. I've been wanting to buy for a while. I did get down dirty and rebuy some of my pen the other day because I don't know. I feel a little bit of the reopening in there. It's got the sports betting. So I did buy a little bit of pen. I kind of want to rebuy the DraftKings too. I'm not going to chase it up 9% here this morning. But it's on the watch list and it's a nice response to it. Full disclosure, I do have the pair on DKNG versus GNOG. That's an ERB spread.
I want to just make a point here, and we discussed this yesterday, and I want to show you PayPal, right? So they hit PayPal, right, because they're thinking of buying pins, right? Yeah. And they just murder the stock, right? And then they call, you know, we're not doing the deal. Well, look at all the people that got stuck in that. That was traded much higher in the pre-market trading. And we said, hey, it's, you know, it already had started to fade. And I don't know if the street's just thinking that PayPal was just so stupid for even thinking of doing that, that they just don't want to.
I think that street's calling the bluff. Because when you read it, they're saying we're not looking at pins at this time.
Yeah, so I did see that.
I think that they think that they're – I think the street's just calling the bluff here on PayPal, and they're saying, hey, they're going to acquire somebody, and they're going to overpay.
Yeah.
I think that's good. Why you saw the rally fade. With that being said, 240, huge level. You know, obviously the market doesn't want to see a deal, at least not for pins, because that was clearly spoken with it going down 5%. But I think that's what they were saying, Joel.
Yeah, I agree. And then so – and the only reason I'm bringing that up is you hit that – just $53 it's got to, $52.95. Over 500,000 shares traded on that bracket. You think people are going to buy this thing back up to 53? Maybe they will. We got a little bit of a leak. I'd say 50. If it breaks 50, you got some more downside. Long way to go to the bottom, or to the top of Friday's range, 47.35. But if I think, what's this? What are all these highs here? 50.25. We're already above that. We'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they take it back up to 53 and it just keeps on going. But it just seems when the relief pops on these non-deal things are really hard to get the losses back.
Yeah. It doesn't always come all the way back. And we've seen this on deals before. Just because somebody's snooping around, they slam the stock down and they often don't get the losses all the way back. But I think the market still thinks PayPal's going to buy something. And we know acquirers can get hit, especially on stock deals. So obviously, the ARBs come in and will often hit the acquirer and buy the acquiree. So, but that's a risk ARB thing to talk about. So, we got 4 minutes here. Let's keep moving here through earnings season because there's a lot of them this morning.
UPS. Let's go to UPS.
Ooh, they're delivered.
They did deliver. That's exactly.
Joel, it's a good one.
That was a very nice one, Joel. Hey, I'm back in the office. Is my mixer, is my soundboard plugged in here? Let me see.
I hear you. Oh, okay.
Maybe. All right. We have sound effects. Hey, we're back. Okay.
We're back.
Yes. EPS beat 16 cents. Wait, let me pull it up in my pro. 1 second. 16 cents, I believe. No, that was the unadjusted. Adjusted number was $2.71 versus a $2.54. So they beat by 16 cents. Sales, 23.2 versus 22.5 billion dollars. So this company beats almost every single quarter. They also raised their consolidated adjusted operating margin target for the year up to 13%. So some kind of a guidance raise there to go with the beat and the beat. And again, this company, they beat, with the exception of COVID, when they missed a couple during COVID, but they beat almost every single quarter on both the top and the bottom line.
Tried to get up to the all-time highs this morning. It didn't really quite get there. 219.59, the all-time high back from, I believe, it was March. Or no, it was May. How high did we get, Joel?
We snuck over 216 on two different 15-minute brackets, 1650 and 1644. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to say, yeah, that's a good level. But I think, you know, you've filled this gap here. And just because these two highs are still on my chart, my area of interest would be, you know, 215. I mean, you got it. There's two highs right there, 1429, 1471. So that's resistance to me. And also more than filling this gap, a lot of people got their money back. So I'm not buying it. And if I was trying to sell it.
I kind of like it short up at your level, Joel. 214 to 215. It's hard to just short an earnings stock on good earnings. But you do have levels up here. I mean, above 220, you got to, you know, when stocks make new all-time highs, you absolutely don't want to be short them. But you're coming up. You've come a long ways. I mean, the expectations, like we go back 7 days ago, this was in the gutter. And now all of a sudden, it's up, you know, 20% in the
UPS.
Matter of 2 weeks.
It's UPS.
I know. If you're buying it now, I believe you're absolutely doing it backwards.
It's brown.
I believe you're absolutely doing it backwards. Joel's got all the puns today. So definitely not chasing. I'm actually interested in the short side on this, but I have no position in it right now.
They're hiring 100K workers, too, to deliver all those goods that are not on the store shelf.
That is a bit of a conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah, you got to think like supply chain. If there's issues going across everything, then I'd be delivering as much stuff, you would think. But
yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's anyways, speaking of supply chain, we'll just take it to a segue and we'll come back to earnings season. We're obviously going to get Apple earnings on Thursday. I got my new Apple iPhone.
Oh, can you
show? So I obviously have been on the iPhone 5S or whatever it was, or whatever the hell it was. Five. It's a version of the 5. I've been on there forever. And everybody's telling me, you got to get a new iPhone. So I finally order. I go in, Rogers, Canadian, go to Rogers, order the new iPhone. They say a couple weeks. This is 6 weeks ago. So I call yesterday, and I'm like, my iPhone 12 mini, you were saying a couple weeks. It's been 6 weeks. Is there anything? He's like, actually, he's like, I've got one in today. I just got a 12 mini. He's like, it's not the one you ordered, but it's sitting here, and if you want it, I suggest you take it, because God knows when yours is going to come. So that was his exact words. So seriously, that was his exact words. He's like, it's fire red, though. I'm like, I got to take it. I'm like, I wanted the 128. It was only the 64. That's how much I'm settling here, because I'm like, it may never come in. So I got my new iPhone. It's fire engine red. I got the black case, so you can just see the little bit of red there. That's the only part that you'll see.
Dennis, we're twins. Dennis, we're twins.
Oh, my gosh. Me and Spencer. What is yours? What is that?
I don't know. I got it last year, so whatever.
Is it
the
12 too?
Probably.
Probably the same thing.
Is yours a mini?
No, it's not a mini.
I want the mini because I wanted it to be the same size. Yeah. So anyway, this is the world we're in. We settle in this world. It's such a world. We've been so spoiled in North America. I know Herb Greenberg was tweeting yesterday, about the Walgreens lineups and, the labor shortage.
I also saw that tweet. Yeah.
He's absolutely right. Herb does some great work. But absolutely right. We're looking at this, from this perspective. North America is not used to not being able to buy what they want when they want it. And we got to get used to this, because this is the environment that we're in right now and the world we're in. And you know what? Normally I'd be like, yeah, no, 2 years ago, I'm not going to take a red iPhone with half the storage that the one that I ordered. In this world, I'm like, okay, I'll take it. And you know what? I'm like, is there a sale? Hell no, there's no sales on right now. You can't even get the dang thing. So it's a different world, a different mindset for the consumer. But I have a new iPhone, so it's kind of exciting, even though it's not the one I wanted.
I hope now when I call, you will answer.
Because my old one, Joel, was going nuts. Because I can take calls, but for some reason, I guess it was so old that they said they anticipated that my long-distance antenna wasn't working, because I couldn't really call out long distance. So I'd call Joel, and it would pick up, but I couldn't hear him. So
and he'd be like, your phone sucks. Your phone sucks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're yelling at me, and I'm yelling at him like, no, your phone sucks.
So it was time for a new phone. So we got a new phone.
You know how hard it is to argue with Triple D. Your phone sucks. It's your phone. Where are you at? Where are you doing?
I know. I always said it was Joel's. Joel, like, your phone sucks. Get a new plan.
Okay.
And it was me. It was me the whole time. So let's a new iPhone. Pretty exciting, even though it's not the one I wanted. But right. Different world we're in. I'm taking this to the Apple earnings.
Yes. What a segue.
I'm long Apple, full disclosure. Okay. But are they going to be good when nobody can buy their phones?
Well,
went in 6 weeks ago to buy a phone. They took a deposit on it. But I didn't actually buy the phone.
Well,
so.
Remember, they've already lowered the bar for themselves. Right?
I'm just saying, when I went to Rogers, he's like, I'm like, what other iPhones do you have? He's like, I don't have any iPhones. This is a telecommunications, one of the biggest telecommunications companies in Canada, if not the biggest. It's like AT&T Verizon equivalent, if you don't know Rogers. It's huge. It trades on the New York Stock Exchange under RCI. But if they don't have iPhones, that means a lot of other, this is the iPhone seller. And they can't get them in. I got to think that Apple, that concerns me on holding Apple through an earnings report here.
Look at RCI.
I'm obviously holding my long-term shares, but maybe I should put a hedge on. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Look at that Rogers, man. I think they got pounded the last couple days.
Well, because they don't have any iPhones for sale. I actually don't know the headline. I made that up, but difficult.
Apple's come, it's battled its way back halfway, from the all-time high. I mean, this is like your pattern that you've seen in Apple. Will that pattern persist? We talked about this on the webinar. I mean, the run into the Q3 report went down, eventually came back up. Then you had the Q2. I mean, it happens. I mean, their quarters are a little bit different, but it's had a really nice run. And if it goes with its historical patterns, it kind of sells off a little bit after.
I'm really scared on this Apple number.
I guess here's the only thing that the question you have to ask yourself is, okay, do you think that they're going to come out and lower the bar again? Or do you think they're merely going to repeat what they said a month ago, which was, yeah, like we're not going to be able to, you know, sell as many phones due to supply? They already said that a month ago. Do you think they're going to come out and say, our bad, it's actually worse than we thought?
I think it's getting worse. I do believe it's getting worse.
Are they going to just repeat themselves? And as we told you, you know, it's tough out there for an iPhone maker right now.
Well, what if they come out and say, you know, our car's really moving along or something like that?
Oh, that would be something.
Yeah. Maybe they're going to have to do something like that if they're missing earnings. But I don't know. Like, I just think if I can't get the iPhone that I want and the guy saying take any iPhone you can get right now because we can't get them, they're not, you know, they better be a very low bar in there, and maybe it is, but they might come in underneath that low bar. I'm actually very, very concerned on this Apple. I'm actually very, very concerned on this Apple. And I'm long Apple, full disclosure. That's why I'm concerned. I probably wouldn't be thinking about it this much, but I'm nervous about this report.
I mean, if you look
Thursday night. We got a couple days to talk about it yet.
Wow.
It just seems
so. Do I hedge or not to hedge? That is the question. Chat, you got 2 days to get
I would take the other side of this trade, Dennis.
You're going to go long. You like the Apple core. You think the bar is low enough and it's all priced in.
The bad news is already out. We already know. It's not like
you could be very well be right.
Yeah. I mean, like, what are the odds? Like Apple has always had a pretty good feel for things. Like, you know, when they say something, it's pretty believable. Like, they have a good feel for their business. You know, they're not constantly raising and lowering expectations. They have a pretty good feel for things. So when they came out and lowered the bar a month ago, all right, that's fair. That, you know, I think they're not going to do it again. Twice would be a lot.
Maybe it's all priced in. Maybe everybody expects them to not sell very many iPhones. I'm telling you, their iPhone sales year over year are not going to look pretty. I will tell you that much, because if I can't buy an iPhone and I'm like the last person to buy
an iPhone. But you did.
They had one. He had one. He's like, I got 112. He's like, do you want it? It's not your phone, but it just came in. Somebody is going to buy it today because we won't have any by the end of the day. And I don't think he's trying to hard sell me on it. I really believe that, you know, obviously I was already a customer, so I had already put a deposit down on one.
Joel, what's up?
I was going to say, I mean, they've missed for EPS like one time.
Let's see.
Since
they've missed a few.
EPS, they missed one time since. Can you pull that up? It's impressive. They missed on revenues, Dennis, but they rarely miss on EPS.
Yeah,
It's so impressive.
This is Apple, man. This is Apple going back to 2012. Yeah. They missed in the second quarter of 2016.
They better not miss.
They missed.
If they missed this time.
They missed in the third quarter of 2012. Actually, only know that this company, they never come in below the estimate ever. That doesn't mean the stock has to go higher, but it just means they have a good feel for their business. So anyway, I'll take the other side of that from Dennis.
The S&Ps are so quiet here, Dennis. And there's just nothing going on here. We just had this
before the Apple storm.
Yeah, we're just like. Just hanging up here.
Been a pretty good overnight rally, and we do know the majority of the moves. You know, we don't have a lot of macro stuff really happening here right now, driving stocks up. Now we're in earnings season. Earnings season is the driver. We did get Facebook, but it's had a lot of time to digest, and we don't have, you know, we have some names this morning. Don't kid yourself. There was some earnings reports, but tonight is really the night. Like, I mean, when you're getting Google and Microsoft and AMD, this is a big night tonight. Twitter, it's a big night tonight, at least for tech. So I don't think that, you know, you don't have a hell of a lot of, you know, individual stories really driving us all over the place here today. You just got the steady grind north here in the SPY. So, and that might continue. Like Facebook, even it's muted response, really. I mean, they sold it off, they rallied it up. Now it's just kind of hanging out. So, and it's been really not moving at all here in the last Facebook, where you were your driver. And if you bring up that Facebook chart, it's like, meh, it's for the last couple hours, it's really gone nowhere.
Yeah.
So
let's go to the biggest one of your biggest losers of the day here is Logitech. They had earnings out overnight because they reported over in Europe here, and their earnings per share missed $1.05 versus $1.10. Their sales came in a little bit higher, $1.31 versus $1.27 billion. So a sales beat, EPS miss. They did reaffirm their sales guidance for the year at anywhere from down 5% to up 5%. And the stock is down this morning.
You just got to respect the pre-market low. You can respect these levels, 82 to 84. Yeah. It's already traded a lot. So
this is already priced in Europe too. Yep. So we come in a lot of mornings, 8 a.m. and it's price discovery. This is not having price discovery. This was price discovering at 3 a.m. when Europe opened. So completely different story. It's a 3 cent market here right now. It's tight. It's trading just where it is, obviously, over in Europe right now. So it's following that price. So don't expect a big bounce back. Don't expect much. It's kind of priced where it wants. The European session's half over. So that's where it wants to be.
Yeah. The other big loser we've got here is Lockheed Martin, down, I think, 8% this morning.
Bad one for me.
Yeah. EPS beat. Sorry, Dennis. EPS beat. Sales miss. Guidance came in. Looks like a little bit light on the guidance front.
Wow. So I'm in this from 325 or 330 long-term account. Put in the long-term account, trying not to look at it. I've been up here at 380 a couple of times and given it all back a couple of times. It's one of those, like, FedEx did that to me, remember? I'd be up, down it, and like and finally just get fed up with it. So obviously disappointing. It's in my long-term accounts, down 8% here on the earnings. I'm holding it because it was a long-term investment. I looked at the big run it had in earnings. I knew the expectations were a little bit high, but I did not hedge it. Should have. Hindsight Capital's 2020, and I'm losing on it. But
step down seller. Step down seller right now. Yep.
They said supply chain stuff.
Yeah. When people
can't, that's the naughty word right now. That's the naughty word. You can't say that.
But I will say, let's see what happens at 345 here. Look, we are trading below that right now. But look at that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lows in the same area. It's trade 110K. I'd keep an eye on that 345 today. But right now, someone's got their pedal on the metal, forcing it lower. This would be a good one to, you know, keep your eye on that 929 and 59 second low. And then a good example of that was pins from yesterday. And, you know, you had let's go to pins. Let's go back from yesterday to illustrate this point. So here you are. This is where the changeover is from the pre-market. We're probably like the only people that give you this kind of look. Look at this. This is just before the open, right? This was your pre-market low. And then boom, at 9:30 came down right here, 49.10. Was the low, former low of the move was off like 49.01, and then it caught a bid. So they defended it here at this level, couldn't get a lot of the losses back. But same thing with Lockheed Martin. It's a $340, $350 stock, so not quite the liquidity, but we'll see what happens. 345. No wars going on, so, you know, I know you think they're getting it.
You had to say something.
They're going into space, though. We're all going, hey, how is space travel doing? How's SPCE doing?
Hanging out at the lows. But you know what? You look at this and you think, okay, well, we've had a lot of these smaller retail names start to pop here. This has not been participating, so that's somewhat concerning. But you have setups. We talk about setups, and $19 is your stop out. So it makes new lows. You got to go. I never want to be in a stock making a new low on the move. But you've got it's 5-6 days of consolidation. The problem is there's so much overhead supply. So it's harder to say, okay, yeah, it's going to turn up because everything else is turning up. And that might be the case. A rising tide does tend to lift all ships. It's stopped going down probably because of that. The question is, does it actually start going up? I don't know. There's probably a lot of easier places to put your money.
Look how just think about the news flow on Baba. You know, we haven't coming in any China head slaps in a while. And look at that thing. It's back up. Oh, this is 180. This is interesting up
big
here.
Big level too. Consolidation to go higher.
But just because no news. Just the absence of news. And this thing is, this thing is rallied.
It stopped giving us bad headlines and the stock can actually start going up.
Yep. And St. Didi got a little bit move up. But no bad headlines and stock moves. So there's where you're not looking for news on something. You're looking for no news.
Should we spend the obligatory minute on Tesla?
Yep.
Yes, obligatory.
Okay. Obligatory. I mean, it's a thousand.
It's so incredible. I said it yesterday on the show. I said it's got 1,000 on the brain. I didn't think it was doing it yesterday, but it did. So I don't know. From this point in time now, it's just, you know, this is upside capitulation to a certain extent. But this thing can go anywhere it wants. It's wide open. It doesn't trade on valuation. It trades on story. The story is still hot. I mean, the Hertz, you know, was the catalyst, obviously, to break us out yesterday. And you think about it, 100,000 cars is a lot of cars for Tesla. You know, somebody was saying that was 20% of their sales from last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's incredible to think about. But I don't know if that stat is actually true. How many cars did they sell last year? Is that a true stat?
I will look it up.
I read it on Twitter.
I'll look it up in the pro right now. Let's see.
Yeah, you know what?
They sell last year.
We know they're selling more now. I mean, I don't know who is still shorting that stock, but they just got blown out of the water yesterday.
You cannot short hot stories. Okay, write this down. Write this down. If you learn anything. Don't start looking at valuation until the story cools off, because valuation doesn't matter at all if the story is hot. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Stocks making new all-time highs. You don't short stocks making new all-time highs. It's the way you get ruined, because it's blue skies. They can go anywhere they want. Tesla has not traded on fundamentals basically ever. So it's a hot story. I mean, it's the same reason I don't short AMC and GME, because those stories are not as hot as they were. But I don't, you can't on valuation. I shouldn't say, you know, I wouldn't short the stocks, but I wouldn't just look and say, oh, the AMC and GME valuation makes no sense. I'm going to short those stocks. Well, how'd that do in January? So you've got to separate it. There's a time and a place where valuation does matter. When stocks are making new all-time highs, that's not the time to be stocking valuation.
Last year, Tesla sold about 180,500 cars. That's where they delivered. Sorry. No, I'm reading for Q4. I'm sorry. For the whole year, they delivered a little under 500,000 cars.
Okay, so there you go. So it's right. That's 20%.
And they produced about 510,000 cars, and they delivered about $10,000 less than that. So
and don't ask about how they're going to pay for it, because it's buy now and pay later.
I mean, exactly.
Is that
how Hertz is doing it? Buy now, pay later.
Yeah, and then someone mentioned that they get a $4 billion order. They added $100 billion in market cap. You know, something like that, something crazy. But the only number that's really, I mean, that 10-45-02. That's a nice number. You may very well see it today. I gotta imagine some people are looking at that mark at 10-24-86 marked. $113 over their over the all-time closing high price. I mean, there just may be a little selling in this, just for portfolios to rebalance some portfolios. That would be like the only reason. I know Kathy was doing that lower, but only number I can give you there.
Selling it nonstop. I don't know if still doing that, but
10-24-86 all-time closing high for Tesla.
Okay, we'll do this in ticker time here. There's a bunch of tickers being thrown out in the chat that we haven't discussed. A couple of people have asked about X today. I've seen like two people ask about US Steel.
So I asked if I'm still in it. You know what? I don't know, actually. You know, you have a lot of stocks in your long-term portfolio if you can't remember. I was in it for a bit. I don't know if I got in it this time around. So I know I'm in Cleveland Cliffs still, which it's had a big move. That's and obviously that's a big move. And I was actually thinking about ringing the register on some of it just because it's been such a big move in 3 days. The US Steel, I don't think I'm in it. I'm in Nucor for sure. I'm in Cleveland Cliffs for sure. I'm not sure if I'm in the X. I have to go look. So I don't know.
Nice move, up 21 cents. You snuck over 25. This high is 25, so I would keep it at 24.98. Maybe there's some paper there at 25, but that was the site where you fell off. I don't know if there was earnings or a downgrade or whatever, but keep an eye on 25 today, and things look kind of wide open in the 25 handle, but see if there's some paper there at 25. Kept it down yesterday a little bit, but Now running into it.
Okay. There's a bunch of tickers flying now. Let's look at, I'm trying to find an interesting one. All right. I don't know. You want to look at Etsy? It's just breaking out the new highs again. I mean,
well, okay. This is an anti-supply chain story, isn't it? Because there's obviously they're making, we actually have people making stuff over here. So you can't get a good gift and your store shelves are empty.
That's true.
Well, there's people that are making stuff on Etsy. So I think this is, you know, the way that you play the shortage of supply in so many different products.
Good point.
So I you know, it's breaking out and obviously justifiably so. I will also say that it's the same thing I just said. Stocks are making new all-time highs. I don't want to be short them. You want to be long them. So on pullback, I'd be a buyer of Etsy. Valuation doesn't matter because it's making new all-time highs. It will matter one day. Doesn't matter right now.
New all-time high by 10.5 bucks. New all-time closing high by about 11 bucks. And your volume went up from 1.9 million to 3.5 million. So big volume in the favor of the trend. I don't know if I'd be looking to pick a top in this one. Today, 5305, 25305 would fill the gap from yesterday. But maybe if it keeps going up and the volume starts to taper off, maybe we'll pull back. But, man, a lot of fresh longs in there yesterday.
Brian, I see you're asking about PROG. That's not really
– Perigo!
No.
That's not Perigo?
No.
it's the news penny stock of the day.
Yeah, yeah. So Brian, what I was going to say was not really our cup of tea here.
PRGO.
But I would just say, you know, watch the pre-market high of 646. But there's one more.
Wait, what's the symbol?
PROG. He's talking.
I'm sorry. If
you go to your gainers, we did this exercise yesterday. There's always going to be, like Kenny was saying, four or five little stocks that are under $5 that are rip-roaring higher. So if we go to the leaders today, number one is WBX. I don't know what the story is there. Wallbox. Is that a SPAC?
It looks
like a SPAC of the day.
It looks like a SPAC.
There's a SPAC going up like crazy. SPACs are back. Kenny's absolutely correct. There's certain SPACs that are just rip-roaring every day. RDBX is the number two. That's a SPAC too. SPACs are back. So look at number one and number two are SPACs, or that were SPACs. EQOS is number three. METX, 50%. It's a 38-cent stock. Don't want to be short 38-cent stocks right now because they go to 58 cents. BACT is the number five stock, up 43%. That stock has been all over the place today. It is trading so fast. 11 million shares have already traded in BACT this morning, and it's not even 9 o'clock.
What's that? What's the symbol on that one?
BACT. BKKT.
BKKT.
Oh, yeah. That's a
high one. Was the mover yesterday, too.
Yep.
So the SPACs are back, man. SPAC attack.
4 a.m. here, the 4 a.m. was the high. So 60.01, you hit that in the opening bracket, 52.03. So I don't know, might have a hard time. I'd see, it's 17 bucks off that high. High's in. I'll call the high. I'll go out of stand on this one. I don't think you see 60 bucks again today. But trade at your own discretion on that one. 17 bucks away. There's a lot of people that bought this in the 50 handle. They're thinking, oh, man, what am I going to do with this? So we'll see what happens. 40 looks like a little bit of support. You hit that a couple times after coming off the high.
How about Upstart here? UPST is
what do they do?
Significantly off the high from a couple weeks ago, 401. It's, you know, we're now down to the mid-300s. Upstart is wait, did you ask that on purpose?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just checking. Upstart's a fintech. If you don't know what Upstart does, it's a fintech play.
That was the guy off CNBC.
That he's been on the show, Dennis. You were out that day, I think, or maybe he's been on.
Oh, how can you remember that?
No. It was at the close. Joel made fun of him. I asked Joel if we should get him on the show. Joel said no.
No.
You can if you want.
Okay.
I'm sure. You know what? He should have just said, I'm following momentum.
Yeah,
it's a momentum stock. If you couldn't argue with that, that's what maybe, you know, who cares?
Half the time you don't need to know what they do, Joel.
Who cares?
You're just going with the flow.
You're probably better off if you don't know what the company does. So
sometimes you're better off. You're right.
Yeah.
Can't overthink it if you don't know the valuation, don't know the fundamentals, and don't know what the company does. I mean, JC Peretz doesn't care anything about any of the fundamentals. So, and he does very well, just trading pure technical. So know what you like. You know, I like to know the fundies. I like to know the relationships. I like to know that this stock's going to move if this stock's moving. But there's a lot of good technical traders out there that just use technicals and care less what the stock does.
All right. What else? We got a couple more minutes here.
Yeah, here. We just got a headline here.
Headline.
And I don't know if it's relevant, but I'm going to say it anyway. In addition to his social media platform, Trump also intends to launch his own on-demand streaming service. So I pulled up DWAC. In theory, this should not move the stock, right? Because it's got nothing. It's a different company. It's got nothing to do with. But that's just in theory. This is not moving off of. This is a silly world that we live in.
Well, no, I think the DWAC, though, I think it's trying to do everything, that company. Somebody, it was her buddy that was on CNBC, and he read the actual, like, what do you call it?
Who's our buddy?
He read what, you know, the notes for the company, what they were proposing, and they had all that in DWAC. They were trying to be the everything company. Who was
Well, we had Chris Catchy on live trading read the presentation to us as well.
Yeah.
I think maybe they did
something. The deck.
I'm remembering now vaguely that, yeah.
They had that in there too.
It was in the deck.
Oh, yeah. It's the company that's going to take out everything. They're going to be the social media. They're going to be your streamer. They're going to do everything. They'll even fix all the supply chain issues. DWAC fixes everything.
And maybe they'll come up with a vaccine.
Might do that too. The anti-vaccine.
Maybe. So anyway, DWAC has gone up in the last couple of minutes here. And
100% off that headline.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's fair. I guess I thought maybe not the same thing, but I guess you're right. It is
inside day.
You call another inside day, Joel? It was an inside day, another inside day.
Can we get
a third inside day? It's like quite the range. If
you want levels on DWAC, email me, Joel at premarketprep.com, and we can work out some financial arrangements.
Or stay tuned to our next show, Live Trading with Benzinga. Maybe we're going to be, maybe I'll trade DWAC again.
DWAC.
But not likely. So, all right.
What about, and the no wonder that was going yesterday was Marky Mark. Yep. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Yep. M-A-R-K. Holy mackerel. That thing was like, where was it pre-market, Joel? Wasn't it like $8 or $9 pre-market? Did it hit 10? Did Mark hit 10?
I don't know.
Pre-market?
It did.
It did, eh?
Just missed it.
Just missed it. Just shy of 10. It's back to 2.
Not
smell
your
peanuts while the circus is in town. When your stock goes from $1 to $10 on stupidity, you ring the register.
Oh, big volume on that bracket too, Dennis, at 6 a.m. Oh, some people got stuck. Look at the volume in this thing. This is in the pre-market.
Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Look at that. Look at that volume that was trading. Holy mackerel. Where do you go with that? All right. We missed a lot of symbols here, and I'm going to hop over to premarketprep.com and cover those. Also, if you missed that event, it's still available. Just go on the site. You can sign up and register for that. So, all right, Spencer. I'll be with you later on. Go get him. Triple D, I want you to dig out. I want you to get your shovel. I want you to dig out
of that hole.
I think you can.
I'm going to use this new iPhone. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to dig out of this with my new red. I'm Spencer Twinsies.
Yeah.
I'm going to dig out with this iPhone here.
All right. Hey, you guys might want to hear something crazy? Funware, you know, is the crazy stock of the week, right? We're going to have the COO of Funware, Randall Crowder, at our Benzinga Small Cap Conference.
Nice.
Not tomorrow, but Thursday, I think, if memory serves, it's like 2:00, I think. Regardless, bzsmallcap.com. All right, look at that. bzsmallcap.com. It's going to be 9 to like 3:30 tomorrow and Thursday. So check it out. We are also going to give away a free one-year subscription of Benzinga Pro to anyone who participates in our survey during the conference. So I'll be there tomorrow. Very exciting stuff. So with that said, it's going to be a wrap for our show today. Live Trading with Benzinga is going to start when we're done here. We have a full day of shows. We have SPAC's Attack making its return. We have our new midday show. I don't know if we're going to call it the Power Hour anymore, but like our new midday show with Aaron Bree and myself. at noon. Got a great show prepared today. We got the roadmap, our NFT show at 2 o'clock. I'll be back with Joel at 3:30 and Money Mitch at 4 o'clock. Got a lot going on today. A lot going on. Very exciting. Okay. That's a wrap, everyone. Good luck at the Open. Live trading with Benzinga starting in a couple of minutes, and we'll see you over there. Stay green and have a good one today.
Get access to actionable news and market research with all the information you need to invest smarter and profit faster. Start your free trial today at pro.benzinga.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.